Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
So I think that we can learn a lot about people by what we want. If we were to ask the question, what do you want, that we could learn something about each other. And just so you can learn a little bit about me, if you were to ask me, Brett, what do you want? My answer is usually going to be the same. What do I want? Tacos. Right? I mean, who? Don't you? I mean, and if I don't know if there's even places to get tacos for lunch today because of the cold, but if you ask me what I want, and we're talking about in the next few hours, I think tacos are it, because you can eat them with steak, you can eat them with chicken, you can eat them with ground beef, you can eat them with shrimp and sausage. Anybody chorizo Mexican sausage? Oh my gosh, I would. It's my favorite. You can eat tacos for breakfast. Does Taco Bell still have the Choco Taco on the menu? Is that, somebody knows. Is that still a thing? It's basically a waffle cone shaped like a taco filled with ice cream covered in chocolate so that you can both feel great and terrible about yourself at the exact same time while you're eating a dessert taco. I am always up for those. Now, that's if you ask me, what do you want? And my response is in the realm of something like food. You might say something like, Brett, I meant like over the next 6 months of your life, or like over the next year of your life. Like, what do you want? What are you going for this year, you know, or in the next season of your life? What do you want? I'd say, oh, other than tacos. I think, you know, off the top of my head, I might say something like, I want more rest on the inside. Like, I want more peace, less anxiety kind of running around inside me, that I would be less worried about what I think people think of me and how to manage my day and all of my responsibilities. And the point is that if you make me zoom out on what do I want, I'm going to give a different answer. I hope you would, right? If we think not just from now till 8 p.m. or something, but if we think now till the end of the year, that changes our answer, or it should. And what if we even go further out than that? If you could go a decade from now, what do you want for your life? Maybe if you could zoom all the way to the end of your life, what do you want? I would hope that we would have some answer that is better than just filling my stomach with some good food. But here's my problem. Is that I have a hard time connecting what I want in the long run with what I'm choosing in the short run. Now, if I say that I am going in this direction in the long run, but my steps a little bit at a time take me somewhere else, well, then I need to adjust the choices that I'm making in the short run so that I can get where I ultimately want to go. But that's a challenge, I think, for any and all of us, because we have competing wants. And the things that are in the moment, the things that are meet our most immediate desires, or our immediate comfort, or maintain status quo, or fill our stomach in one way or another, those end up often dominating our life. And we've been in a series, this is the third week and final week of a series called Take Heart, where we're talking about perseverance, which kind of assumes that there's a long haul thing that we're after. We don't need perseverance to make it to 8 o'clock tonight. We need perseverance for our life to be where we want it to be in a year, 10 years, decades from now. And so as we are working towards having perseverance, which is an important theme in Scripture, how do we do that? And as we have been looking at the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and then 11 last week and 12 this week, I just want to go over the context again a little bit. This letter is written to a group of people, a church that needs perseverance, because their long haul is being hijacked by their short-term needs and felt desires and pain. Because being a Christian, following Jesus, the long haul thing, has gotten very, very hard. He talked about in earlier chapters how he knows, the author, we don't know who it is, He knows that this group of people has had property confiscated from them because they follow Jesus. These families, some of them have become homeless because they claim Jesus, right? He talks about how they've been to prison and their loved ones have been to prison because they follow Jesus. That they have certainly lost relationships. They have certainly lost economically. They have certainly lost social status. They have been through pain for a long time because they follow Jesus and they're starting to drop out, which in a sense is understandable. I have some sympathy for that. I don't know what it's like to be them, and neither do you, I'm guessing. Most of us are never going to have to worry about our family being homeless because we chose to follow Jesus. But we all are trying to connect the long haul to the short-term decisions, aren't we? Maybe we're not trying to keep our home, but we're trying to hold on. We're trying to hold on in a relationship where we know we should. Maybe it's not that we need to publicly deny that we worship this way anymore. We don't worship Caesar anymore like most of the Roman world. And that's going to threaten our lives. But we do need to turn down that relationship that we know we need to. Maybe it's that we know we need to send that text message that says, hey, can we talk? I'm sorry. Or I know that I need to change how I'm spending my money. And I know they don't look at the books, so I'm kind of getting away with this. But I need to make some changes. I need to make some changes. Because these short-term decisions, I need to change them so that I can get where I'm going for the long haul. There's a million different ways we could talk about that. But as we pick this up, we're going to look at chapter 12, which is a little bit of scripture that I probably have spent more time in than as much of any other place in the Bible, because the church that I grew up in, our youth ministry, which is what we called them back then, is a high schooler. This was kind of a core theme that we came to over and over again. Chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Ron preached about this last week, the people of faith that have gone before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. His remedy for helping these people connect the long haul to the short term is saying, consider Jesus, consider him who endured opposition so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. To consider him in the language there means to like meditate on or to focus on or to study intently. And so what his remedy is to say, we are going to look at Jesus. We're going to look at Jesus and we're going to go the way that he went. We're going to fix our eyes on him and run the race that he ran. Now that implies that there is a certain kind of movement that Jesus is making that we are going to consider him on, that we're going to follow him on. And so in general, this is oversimplified for sure. There is a certain kind of movement that we are invited into, and it's the movement of Jesus. Now we could say that it is a consistent movement from comfort or a certain kind of orientation or a certain kind of simplicity or status quo or meeting my immediate desires and needs. There is a movement from comfort to, as the scripture there puts it, joy. For the joy set before him, he went on this journey. Now, for the joy set before him, it keeps going. He endured the cross. That to get from comfort to joy, we have to go through some amount of difficulty. Some amount of trial, of self-denial, of something that is hard. And Scripture sometimes talks about dying to your flesh, which is kind of a churchy way of saying telling ourselves no around things we need to tell ourselves no around, and going through difficulty to get to joy. Now, this is a consistent movement that is somehow baked into what it means to be alive and human in our world. If we are going to get to joy, we have to go from comfort through difficulty to joy. It's worth saying that a story that is worth telling is somebody wants something and they go through something hard to get it. A good story is not, I was walking my dog and I found $5. That's not interesting because there was no difficulty. I was walking my dog and I reached down to pick up a $5 bill. The wind blew it along and I started chasing it. I went through three people's backyards, probably trespassing, and two blocks later, while it was in midair, I reached out and I got my fingers around that $5 bill. I went straight to Dairy Queen and bought a Blizzard to celebrate. That's a story. If someone tells you that in the break room, you're like, ha, cool, right? Because somebody wanted something and they went through something difficult to get it. Now, our challenge in modern society is that we tend to try to avoid the difficulty, to go straight from the comfort to the joy. We want a way around it. And this is because we've been trained in this, much because of our progress as a society. We have resources that help us avoid difficulty. We have influence. We have money. We have technology. We are often able to focus on the difficulty in a way that eliminates it so that we can skip it. In the ancient world, though, this was not an option. This was not an option. If you got sick, there was almost no way of eliminating the difficulty. You had to be tough and get through it. Do you know where their medical technology was at? Leeches. That was what they were doing. We have vaccines and we have antibiotics and we have surgery. I am so glad for all of that. But they had to be tough to live in the ancient world. If there was a drought, do you know what they did? Move. Right? We have irrigation and water treatment, right? We have ways of getting around difficulty. They had famine. There was a very small number of people that had enormous power over the largely impoverished population of the world. And whatever decisions were made way up there drug everyone else into massive amounts of difficulty. Their only strategy for getting through the difficulty was cultivating courage and perseverance. That was it. Their focus could not be on the difficulty. It had to be on developing courage and perseverance to get through it because there was no way around it. Now, I am so glad that we have the resources that we do, but there is a trade-off, is that no one is changed by skipping the difficulty. Right? I think about where you can see this is when you look at people that don't have resources, people who are on the margins who had to go through stuff. I've been this last year looking at the life of John Lewis a little bit. John Lewis passed away this year, and he was the youngest person to speak at the Million Man March with MLK on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, where he said things like, "We want our freedom and we want it now." He was given a concussion by authorities as he was abused. He let his body be abused on the march to Selma in order to raise awareness around the injustices and lack of civil rights that the black community had. He was trained and trained others on how to let your body be beaten in view of others and to keep eye contact with the person who is beating you so that you could help them connect with your humanity. Right? That is a person who was cultivating courage and perseverance to get through difficulty to the thing he was after. I was listening to an interview recently, and a very sharp interviewer said, "How can you maintain two things at once? You say we want our freedom and we want it now. And you also talk about patience so much. You tell your people to be patient, to be patient, to have patience, to have trust. How can you say those two things at the same time? And he was really good. He was saying, I think you may misunderstand. We can never accept something that is wrong. It needs to change. But when I say patience, I don't mean being passive. I mean the waiting will not break us. I mean that we can be patient and that going through difficulty will not break us. Now that is character that has been developed through difficulty, right? Because when we follow Jesus, it's not just that we are going in his footsteps, it's that it changes us to be like him. Like if we could pick this up in Hebrews 12, I'm gonna bounce around a little bit, starting in verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? That the author is using the metaphor of discipline and says that this, God calls us to go through this because he's a good parent. Have you ever been around a child that has never been disciplined? Is that a fun experience? Have you ever been around an adult that was never disciplined? Is that a fun experience? Right? No. And a good parent will impose boundaries and even difficulty on their child for that child's sake. It's an interesting metaphor to use. Like if we go to verse 10. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. That why we go through difficulty is because God wants good for you and he wants you to share in his holiness, to become like him. The thing that makes Jesus holy, he wants to give you and to grow in you, and we develop that by going through difficulty. There is no way that we become holy without perseverance through difficulty. This is how we take on the holiness of God. If I could pick this up in verse 12. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths out for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. So this is a healing process for us. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That when we go through this and we have holiness because we've been developed through difficulty, two things happen. One, we can live at peace with others, because that's what a holy person can do. And we can see God. Without holiness, no one will see God. We get to see God. The best people you know have been shaped by difficulty in a way that made them holy. And that is what we're called to do. Like anything else, when we work out our body, what we're doing is we're breaking down and tearing our own muscles so that they can be rebuilt stronger. This is how life works. And it says that we can see God. That is interesting, because what is the joy that we're after? Let's start by talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ himself. What was the joy he was after? We've talked about this before. What was the status quo for Jesus? His status quo was Lord of heaven and earth, the great king of the universe, millions of angels singing his praise, every atom in creation obeys your command. That was his status quo. What was the joy that he was willing to go through difficulty to get? It was you. He wanted you. And somewhere inside of the mystery of God, before creation, there was an agreement made that if we are going to love something enough to create it, we are going to be willing to die to get it back if it walks away from us. We're going to love it that much. What is your joy that you are pursuing that makes it worth going through difficulty? Just to revisit our passage, verse 2 again. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't the thing you fix your eyes on the thing that you want? The perfecter of your faith, there's an interesting play on words going on here. The perfecter, the root word is telos there. And it does mean perfection. It also means complete, or the goal, or the aim itself. That Jesus isn't just the thing, the person that pioneered faith. He's not just the one that ran it perfectly. He is the goal of faith itself. And that we are in pursuit of God back, that we are constantly making the movement from our own comfort to find our joy in him. That we are constantly making the decision to leave our status quo, our simplicity, our own desires that meet us in immediacy, and move through difficulty, the difficulty of doing something that is hard, the difficulty of hanging on to something that feels heavy, the difficulty of letting go of something that needs to go away, so that we can, for the long haul, find Christ. Now, if you are like me, I need to make those steps shorter, because I'm not even up to the status of these Hebrew people that were receiving this letter. They are having trouble keeping the long view because pain shortens our view. It makes us think about right here, right now. And so we need ways of bringing this into view. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we have to, if you are like me, continue to find ways to meet with Jesus now, because that reminds me that he's who I want. I know I feel like I want all that other stuff sometimes. I feel like I want to feel good. I feel like I don't want to do the hard thing. I feel like I want to buy that. I feel like I want to say that. I feel like I want to say this to this person, and they need to treat me like that. I know I feel all of that, but if I can be with Jesus, I can remind myself that he's who I really want. He's who I really want. And the ways that I consider him when I'm doing this well, they're not new. There's nothing shiny here. It's I spend time in the Word. I spend time in prayer. I spend time in worship. I have people around me when this is going well who remind me. Earlier this week, you know, we were making some family decisions, not earth-shattering kind of stuff, but, you know, some things that involve money and commitment and trying to figure out what we want to do. And I was on the phone with my friend telling him about that, and he said, huh. He says, when you pray about it, what does the Lord tell you? And I said, I haven't prayed about that yet. He said, maybe you should? Like, yeah, I should do that. And I need people to remind me to consider him, to consider Jesus, to pull him into the conversation. And so what are the ways that you have been with him? And here's the other thing. If you don't want Jesus, none of this makes sense. Short term makes sense. If you're here or watching this or whatever, because it helps you meet some short-term feel-good-about-yourself need, I'm glad you're here, but we're going to have to get past that. Because this isn't about making ourselves feel good or becoming slightly better people. This is about pursuing the God of creation who has pursued us all the way to the cross. Because when we're with him, it changes everything. It changes everything. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have been that good, that you left heaven for us, that we are your joy. And God, we confess that this is a struggle. I imagine that none of us do this well. I don't. And that doing the hard thing to get to the thing that we really want is a challenge. And we often don't do that well. So God, would you help us to see difficulty as a place to be strong, to grow stronger, to strengthen our weak knees. And that on the other side, we would have your holiness in us, and that we would see you and live at peace with others. So God, right now we offer you our weakness and say that we can't do that on our own. We need your Spirit to come dwell in our hearts and help us take the right next step. Whether that's to hold on to something, to pick something new up, or to let something go that needs to go. God, would you help us? Because we want you. We want you. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.